inappropriate relationship with a female employee. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 18 points. The NASDAQ ahead 16. This is USA Radio Network News.
Let me ask you something. Would you ever buy a house for $100,000 knowing that in just 3 years it would only be worth about $30,000? Of course not. But that's exactly what happens when you buy a new car. You buy it knowing it'll be worth about one-third of what you paid in 3 years. If you want all the benefits of driving the new car of your dreams without paying twice what you should, call V&M Leasing today. With one toll-free call, you'll get an upfront price on the exact car you want quoted to you right over the phone. And with V&M volume discounts, you can save 40 to 50% on your monthly car payment compared to traditional financing. Plus, you don't have to pay a down payment, and you still get the special factory rebates passed straight on to you to make your payments even lower. Cut your new car payments by up to 50%. Call V&M Leasing today for your free quote at 800-259-1206. That's 1-800-259-1206. Call 800-259-1206 today.
The Italian communications minister says the incident which killed an Italian intelligence agent over the weekend involving U.S. troops will not affect his country's support for the Bush administration's Iraqi effort. A journalist who wrote for a communist newspaper who had just been released as a hostage was injured in that incident. Sweep of Paris in Iraq continues. Fox News Channel's Carolyn Shively has more from Baghdad.
Baghdad today, the Iraqi National Guard launched a crackdown on insurgents. They raided the Al-Adamiyat neighborhood, a Sunni area where attacks are often planned and played out on U.S. and Iraqi forces.
Fox News Channel's Carolyn Shively. In health news, an FDA advisory panel is trying to determine if the anti-cancer drug Erestis should be taken off the market. The panel will be looking at whether it has proven to be effective in treating lung cancer after it was quickly approved. The New York Times reports doctors have found that the AstraZeneca drug has failed to actually prolong lives. This is USA Radio Network News.
Where's the discount? The discount is always best at 99 Cent Flooring in Crystal Lake. Stop in now for the best carpet prices, and installation is only $99 when you get your carpet and quality pad from 99 Cent Flooring. That's $99 installation for one room or your whole house. Yes, get your whole house installed for just $99. This is a limited time offer, so hurry in for this amazing deal. Looking for laminate floors like Pergo, Mohawk, Wilson Arch, Shaw, or Quickstep? 99 Cent Flooring has them in stock and ready to go with prices from 99 cents per square foot. Install them yourself or let our certified installation team do it for you. Where's the discount? It's always at 99 Cent Flooring. Stop in for the best deals in Crystal Lake on Route 14 next to Porter's Oyster Bar or call toll-free 1-866-499. That's 1-866-F-L-O-O-R-99. Prior orders exempt. Offer applies to basic installation only. See store for details. Domino's has great pizza and much, much more. Try a thin crust homemade or deep dish pizza at Domino's in Bloomingdale for a limited time only on Mondays and Wednesdays. Buy one pizza with any three toppings at regular price and get your second pizza of lesser or equal value for free at Domino's Pizza in Bloomingdale. No coupon needed. That's right. Choose your toppings and choose your crust. Call today 630-307-0999. Now you've earned the right to call it homemade. Get the door. It's Domino's Pizza.
The following paid program is sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications. Opinions expressed do not necessarily represent those of staff and management of WRMN Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Freedom Rings. I am your host, Kenneth John. With me is my excellent producer, Derek. How you doing?
Doing wonderful yourself.
Oh, I'm in a deep depression.
Uh-oh.
The Illini lost yesterday.
Yeah, that's all right.
What do you mean that's all right?
Humble them up a little bit. It's all good.
Well, that's the cognitive dissonant thing that people are saying. It's, oh, it's a good thing for them. Now they'll really be prepared for the playoffs. And maybe that's true. Hopefully that's true.
We'll see.
I wanted to see an undefeated season, though.
I don't blame you.
All right. Oh, well. Ohio State played really good defense. Got to give them credit.
Well, yeah, you know, the Big Ten tournament is Ohio State's only tournament, so they're going to play well since they're not allowed to be in any postseason tournament.
Okay, let's move on because we have a great guest on today, folks. It's Elneil Smith, who is the probably the most famous famous libertarian science fiction writer out there today. He's been on the show before, a few years ago, and it was a lot of fun last time, so I anticipate the same. So, on to the stupid regulation of the week. And this is from the Florida Tomato Commission. The Florida Tomato Commission regulates tomatoes, or any fruit, in size, shape, skin quality, or color. And there are some who believe that actually this is just a way to keep the little guys out, keep the big fruit-growing cartels in business at the expense of the small business person. And what's happened is there's an entrepreneur that's developed a tomato called the Ugly Ripe Tomato. And what, after evidently 10 years of experimentation, triggered by complaints that tomatoes on supermarket shelves are taste impaired, which I think most of us can agree with, he was able to come up with a tomato that tasted like the good old days. It tasted like a real vine-ripened tomato. But the thing was, it didn't look nice. Didn't have the right shape, for one thing. And so the Florida Tomato Commission, in order to so-called protect the consumer, has banned those tomatoes because they don't fit in their little category. So, and next time you're complaining about the tasteless nature of the tomatoes you get in supermarkets, folks, you can thank one more stupid regulation, the Florida, that from the Florida Tomato Commission. And, you know, again, what this really does is it protects the big boys. They can keep on supplying this junk that they call food to us and not have to submit themselves to true competition. You know, I don't care what the tomato looks like. If it tastes good, boy, it's got to beat the heck out of what we get today in the supermarkets. It's, you know, it's one more example, folks, of why government regulation is wrong. Well, we need to move to a free market. Dump the regulations. And I have a standing challenge to any of you listeners out there to come up and name one government regulation that works, that does a better job than could be done with the free marketplace. So, at any rate, I think I'm not going to talk that much right now because we got a great guest coming up. Elneil Smith. So, this is Freedom Rings. I'm Kenneth John, and we will be back with after a few messages. Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats and regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well then, America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Baroni's Pizza, 3 Lakewood Plaza, one block west of Route 25 off of Bessinger Drive in Carpentersville on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating.
in business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruptions, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
Hello, friends. This is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings need your help. I would like to get back to a two-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, nonprofit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bass, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Rings to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute and be sure to mention Freedom Rings. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Rings, and thank you for your support.
Watch the police in the tech man missing.
All right, we are back with Freedom Rings, and I'd like to introduce to the program today, L. Neil Smith. Neil, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
You are a most prolific writer, author of, what, 23 novels, is it?
It's 24 now. I just finished Since They
Won. Wow, congratulations. Wow, I admire your discipline, I'll have to say that. I do a little writing on the side, but to do that to such an extent, that's really, I think that's very laudable. And beyond that, the influence you've had on the libertarian movement, I would say you're probably the most influential writer living today.
Yeah.
In the libertarian movement, with your most popular novel being The Probability Brooch. That is coming. It has come out in a graphic version.
It has indeed.
With I'm halfway through. I have not quite got. I got through American Zone. That was delightful, by the way.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you.
Delightful, or the American Zone being the sequel. A sequel to.
Yeah.
Oh, good, wonderful.
it's the latest sequel, but it's kind of the definitive sequel, too. But there are a lot of other ones, the Venus Belt and Emergency Spucketeers and the Nagasaki Vector and like that.
Wonderful. So, at any rate, and I was going to mention the graphic artist is Scott. Is it Beezer?
Beezer. Yeah,
Scott Beezer. He does a wonderful job with
Scott,
that.
Scott is a bona fide genius. He's an amazing guy, and the neat thing about Scott is he's not flighty or nutty or anything like a lot of artists pretend to be, at least. He's a down-to-earth, practical individual with whom I enjoy working very much.
Terrific. All right, let's go to some current events and then what's happening today in America.
Okay.
I think you and I would agree, we're living right now in a police state.
Yes.
It's not totalitarian yet. We haven't seen millions of people murdered by the state yet, in this country.
Yeah, the Spanish police state under Franco was not totalitarian either. In fact, a lot of people actually enjoyed living there. But nevertheless, if you moved a fraction of an inch, pardon me, a centimeter out of line, then you found out it was a police state. And that's the way this one is.
What do we need to do to turn things around? What do we need to do? I had a conversation with a liberal, this is weird, a Assembly of God person who was a liberal, statist liberal,
yeah.
I said. And he was old enough to be set in his ways, and I was starting to espouse some libertarian viewpoints to him, and he thought I was like, wait, I mean, one who some would say are cult-like, he thought I was way out in left field. He had never heard of, you know, asserting your own rights, and as long as you don't hurt anybody else, you have the right to do what you please. When I get in conversations like that, I get a little bit, oh my God, maybe it's time just to go up to the North Woods.
Well, first of all, it's his fault. He's ignorant. And there is plenty of libertarian influence around. Atlas Shrugged is the second most popular book ever printed.
Second to the Bible.
That's right. And, you know, sort of always running nip and tuck with the autobiography of Benjamin Franklin. So in any case, I mean, the last I heard, and this was some time ago, there were 60 million copies of that book out there in various languages and stuff. So this, your friend, if I may call him that, is an ignoramus. And part of it, of course, we have to take responsibility for. We haven't gotten the message out as much as is necessary to prevent what has happened. I mean, I've been writing novels for 25 years, and sometimes I turn around and think, things are worse now than when I started.
Well, absolutely. In far as personal rights are concerned, I think that's true. I think, and I know we libertarians don't like to differentiate, but in so-called economic rights, I think the intellectual battle is we may even be winning that.
Yeah.
But as far as personal rights is going in the opposite direction.
Well, it's kind of hard to tell because now the government and its citizens control the media to an extent that you can't really tell what's going on. So we just don't know. I have not gone wrong so far in criticizing the government in public. I haven't found anybody who disagrees wildly with anything I've had to say. Now, I haven't started on programs yet.
Except some pseudo-libertarians.
Yeah, there you go. That's quite right, and I've run into a few of them online.
Yeah, well, and you say it's part of it is for us to be blamed, and I agree with you. I remember looking over your unanimous consent agreement on corporations, the aspect of corporations, and that is one area that I think libertarians have really fallen short of. It seems to me there are certain intellectual libertarians who get jobs with think tanks, and they get funding from corporations, and it seems like the libertarians almost ignore the fascist aspect, the mercantilist, corporate, whatever you want to call it, aspect of the corporate system in America.
Right. And somewhere around halfway through my career as a libertarian, I began to see that corporations could be the enemy of liberty. I mean, you always hear, well, you know, it's their property, so they have a right to blah, 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 and then they... And you know, the law is a list of rights, either, you know, human or natural rights, or rights under the First Ten Amendment of the Constitution. You do not have a right to murder somebody on your own property.
That's very true.
And as far as I'm concerned, you do not have a right to contravene basic rights. Now, if you want them to leave your property, that's fine. But, for example, I've always maintained that as long as it stays inside your clothing, and this is a source of some controversy, even among my own, you know, closest friends. As long as it remains under your clothing, you have a right to carry a gun, even if they don't want a gun on their own property, because it's actually on your property. And I get this from Robert Lefebvre. I don't know if you know who Robert Lefebvre is.
I've heard a lot about him. I entered the libertarian movement a little bit after, I think, he had departed.
Yeah, Bob was an important teacher in the movement, and you can see him at his best. In Heinlein's The Moon is a Harsh Mistress, because Professor Bernardo de la Paz was largely based on Robert Lefebvre.
Okay.
Bob saw property rights as a matter of interlocking and concentric Venn diagrams, if you remember those, from high school or college, graphic presentations of certain kinds of logic. And, you know, there's this big Venn diagram of the world in which you have rights. And a smaller circle of this other guy's property, right? And you having to be on the property, whether you need to be or want to be or have been invited or whatever. And there's a circle around you. You are your own property, and everything inside your clothing is inside your boundaries. So that's one of the things I say about corporations. Another one is that they've sought certain privileges and immunities from the government.
Absolutely. They are a creature, after all, they're a creature of the state.
I believe that they should be treated and judged as creatures of the state, and therefore the Bill of Rights should, the limitations of the Bill of Rights should apply to them just as it's supposed to apply to the government.
Well, I agree with that, and I think it's refreshing to hear a libertarian say that.
Well, the object is freedom, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And you know, and anything that gets in the way of freedom has to be examined, and ethical means have to be found in dealing with it.
What about our wonderful educational system? I saw a letter that you sent to the principal. Was that the one principal in Tennessee? I can't remember which one, because these stupid regulations pop up. I have a stupid regulation. I say stupid and or outrageous regulation of the week on my show every week. And it's invariably, I think almost half the time, I'm picking some ridiculous move by some principal in some so-called public school system, where the latest I heard in Tennessee was somebody wrote about zombies attacking a school.
Yes.
And he was suspended?
Yeah.
I want to know why Stephen King is in jail forever.
There you go. Or zillions of science fiction writers who have monsters pushing over the Empire State Building and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's really amazing to me that people keep their children in the government schools.
Yeah. Well, as you know, the conclusion of that letter was thanking that principal for bringing the end of a government school of culture.
Yeah, I would hope that that's true. I would hope that parents are wise enough to start to realize. And there is a growing movement of homeschooling, isn't there?
Well, my daughter is homeschooled.
Wonderful.
And, you know, I mean, she was reading what you'd call a college level, oh, I don't know, the time she was maybe 8. Her vocabulary doesn't differ materially from mine or my wife's. She knows she owns her own life, so she's an absolute pain in the tuchus, but I'm proud of her. I'm very proud of her.
So we both agree that education should be privatized, however you want to call it. How do we get from here, from here?
Well, from Prussia with love. John Dewey and who's that other guy that's famous for launching public education? I just lost his name for a moment. They wanted to emulate the system that they saw in operation in Prussia. Now, in Prussia, the only reason for existing that an individual had was to serve the state.
Right.
Quite different from the premise on which the United States is supposed to have been built. But nevertheless, this is very ragged back edge of the progressive era. And Horace Greeley. No, Horace Mann.
There you go. My tongue, too, I couldn't think of.
These guys wanted a system, the purpose of which would be to make people, children, into good citizens, you know, happy laborers and all that. And they said things like, you mustn't concentrate too hard on what you might call conceptual thinking. Because if you teach kids to think conceptually, that will give them ideas, it will give them illusions of intellectual grandeur, and they'll just become trouble for the state to deal with.
Heaven forbid you bring about any creative thinkers out there.
Well, they wanted people to be, you know, the hewers of wood and haulers of water, carriers of water.
Exactly. It really reminds me of the Roman Catholic Church. Only the priests and the cardinals and the pope should read the Bible and interpret it for the masses out there.
Well, it never fails to surprise me how much late 19th century and early 20th century collectivists who abandoned religion nevertheless kept its ethical system pretty much intact and its social goals.
Absolutely. We're talking with L. Neil Smith, celebrated science fiction writer. Phone number here is 847-931-1410. That's 931-1410. Have any questions, comments, observations about any political, economic, philosophical thoughts? They would like, give us a call, 847-931-1410. We will be back after a few messages.
Reduce children to their lowest common denominator. 57% of us are functionally illiterate.
For us, excellence is a thing of the past.
We killed the teachers and students at Columbine.
We are all trained to follow orders. Good.
We have learned to be tolerant of all people, except whites, Christians, and males.
27% of us are put on drugs.
The rest of us take the illegal ones. Two-thirds of us believe that from each according to his ability to each according to his need is part of the preamble to the U.S. Constitution.
7 out of 10 of us don't know either of the senators in our state.
We just placed 19th out of 21 countries on math scores, ahead of the Ivory Coast and Sri Lanka.
We elected Bill Clinton as president
and re-elected him. And 9 out of 10 of us are products of the public school.
This message paid for by the Illinois Indoctrinators Association.
Ever think that you should be getting more out of your computer? Maybe you need a go-to tech guy. A go-to tech guy is somebody who knows computers inside and out and can help you with yours. Jack Cesari is a real go-to tech guy. Jack Cesari is a 20-year tech veteran who can help you get more out of your computer. Need email or internet setup and training? Call John. Want to simply learn to do things faster? Call John. Jack Cesari comes to your home, works with you one-on-one on your machine, and shows you step-by-step how to do things you've always wanted to do with your computer. Want a new computer system set up? Call John. Need fast, convenient repairs? Call John. Call John Cesari at area code 630-858-6933. That's 630-858-6933. John Cesari. Make him your go-to tech guy. I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through a jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974.
We are back with Freedom Rings, and we're talking with L. Neil Smith, celebrated libertarian science fiction writer, and I think let's go right to the phones. We got Tim. Hello, Tim.
Hi, Ken. How are you?
Good.
Good, good. Mr. Smith.
Yes.
Been a big fan of yours since the Lando Calrissian series.
Oh, thank you.
You're quite welcome. Palace has been one of my favorites over a period of time.
You know, I just finished a series of that.
Series?
Pardon me?
I'm sorry, the sequel?
Yeah, series.
Series. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I also wanted to make sure that you mentioned the website that you have.
Oh, thank
Libertarian Enterprise.
Actually, there's three websites, but I think the important one to mention right away is www.bigheadpress.com. That's where you can find the graphic novel. It's also available at Laissez-Faire Books and Amazon. And as far as I'm concerned, personally, it's just www.lneilsmith.com. And this is a tricky one.
Neil with an I, by the way.
That's right, N-E-I-L, lneilsmith.com. The tricky one is the Libertarian Enterprise, and I emphasize the word enterprise because the URL is www.ncc-1776.com. And that's just kind of a play on Star Trek. We're most of us interested, although often argumentative fans of Star Trek, in our Enterprise, Libertarian Enterprise, is NCC 1776, as opposed to Kirk's, which is NCC 1770.
Yeah, a little homage to the, to the Star Trek thing. I just wanted to tell you that I really, really appreciated Probability Broach. In fact, Ken was a recipient of several of these, apparently, for the Winter Solstice celebration.
Yeah, they actually are from Trump Ken, who's calling here, and our friend Susan Wells.
Right.
Oh,
who did the drug war, Carol.
Yes.
Right. So it's Probability Broach was something that I wasn't aware of until I actually found it accidentally in a used book section of a college library or bookstore, and I've been a big fan of that ever since.
Well, thank you. In some ways, it's very, very gratifying. I mean, most ways, it's very gratifying that people care about that book, and they do. If it's enough to make you break out into tears. On the other hand, it also means that I haven't written anything that's worth a damn cent.
No, not quite. I love the vision of the alternative universe of what could have been
sure.
in this country had things gone, let's say, the
if
right
way. If the Whiskey Rebellion had succeeded, huh?
Well, you know, if that or if we had rejected this... this form of federalism, which has just been taking over to the point where not even really federalism anymore.
I was very happy to see Thomas DiLorenzo, who is the distinguished author of a number of books, including The Real Lincoln.
That is a wonderful book.
It's an excellent book. In fact, we've gotten into our arguments and discussions about that, haven't we, Ken?
Oh, yeah.
He traces the evils of the Lincoln administration right straight back to Alexander Hamilton, who
was
the villain of the background villain, anyway, of the Probability Broach. And he traces that through
Henry Clay.
Henry Clay, and then right to Lincoln.
There's one thing I wanted to bring up in Palace, the hero in the series, the
Emerson News.
I was going to attempt to try and pronounce his name.
It's just Vietnamese, and we all know lots of people who are named New now, and Nguyen and stuff.
Well, anyway, he comes up with an idea of creating using a steel plate, a semi-automatic pistol, which I find is an interesting thing since regulations, the government regulations on anybody protecting themselves and have gone totally, nutso.
Yeah.
For there to be any form of a liberty resistance movement of some sort, weaponry is definitely going to be one of the issues, and it's going to be controlled at some point by the centralized socialist government. The plan for making that kind of thing, I thought was rather interesting. Is there anybody out there who's actually doing something like that?
Let me explain this. It was simply the idea that you could build a pistol frame the same way that Master Lock builds their locks, out of steel plates, stacked up. And there were some other ideas in there. It's double action only, so you just pull the trigger and nothing else. And it's a 10 millimeter, but it's a straight blowback. And it has very, very powerful recoil springs, which you could probably not operate on your own. So the barrel tips up like it does on a number of small Beretta pistols. So you can put a round in the chamber and then close it. So that was the whole system. And indeed, they built their own guns there as an industrial enterprise.
I thought it was rather unique as well as ingenious, simply from the aspect that anybody here who had the machinery could also do something similarly. It would not be providing, even if they bought all materials within the state where they were located. I'm not even sure where interstate commerce clause would fit into that. But nonetheless, I'll make room for other people. Glad to have you on the air.
Thank you for calling.
Keep the writing up.
I am doing that right now. I've read Harry's, which is yet another sequel of Palace.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thanks for your call, Tim. Let's move on to foreign policy, Neil.
Sure.
We have a situation in Iraq, just almost shot dead that Italian journalist. It seems to me, actually, that the American military are in an absolutely impossible situation there.
I mean, how there are suicide bombs going, car bombs going on all the time, and unless you would, if they're going to be there, it seems to me they're going to have to operate under a warlike totalitarian, you know, totalitarian fashion.
They shouldn't be there. We're the Imperial Stormtroopers. We're the bad guys. It doesn't matter how heroic and pink-cheeked and all that our boys and girls who go over there are. They're bad guys. They've been put in the position of being bad guys.
Yeah.
There's an accusation out there that that the Italian journalist was deliberately fired upon by our troops. And I don't find that ridiculous in an occupying force that ran a cruise missile into Al Jazeera's headquarters there.
Right.
Because they wanted to take the Arab TV off the air.
Right.
And has locked up and padlocked numerous newspapers that won't toe the party line. So, as I said, we're the bad guys. It's very, very sad. I don't think I've been able to be proud of my country since I was in high school. You know, I was in high school during the beginning of the Vietnam War. I'd like to be proud of my country. I'd love to be proud of my country. But I sure can't be proud of this mess that George Bush and his cronies have made for their, for nothing but their own profit.
Absolutely not. I can't think of a time. I am proud of our heritage to a great degree, but what our country has done both domestically and abroad, it's absolutely appalling.
Well, we could actually, you know, we could talk all morning about the Bill of Rights and the Declaration of Independence. Those are great milestones in human history. But unfortunately, I'm not sure that any leader is capable of being worthy of that heritage.
Well, you mentioned the closing down of journalists in Iraq, and it reminds me of what Lincoln did. And it seems to me that George W. Bush is a legacy of Lincoln.
He is running the Lincoln playbook just perfectly.
And just taking it internationally instead of nationally.
Yeah, it's personal to me because some years ago I wrote a piece called The American Lenin, which is about Lincoln's heritage. As far as I knew, I was the only one out there. And it got published in, not coincidentally, in the Las Vegas Review Journal, which is the assistant editorial page editor there, of course, is Vince Aprinowitz.
Correct.
And it caused I'll be nice and say a firestorm, except I didn't really say fire, okay? it was refreshing to see all these people venting about something they didn't know anything about. And the most fun part is at the end of the whole thing, after about 4 weeks of letters to the editor, a retired history professor from UNLV wrote to the paper and said, you know, it's sad, guys, but Smith is right about Lincoln. And now there's a book out there called, I think it's just called POX, P-O-X. It's about the effect of venereal disease on political history. And one of the people that the author identifies as having had syphilis and their motivations and behaviors being influenced by Abraham Lincoln and Mary Lincoln.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sure I caught. Are you saying that
Abraham Lincoln
had venereal disease?
He was a syphilitic.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And
it affected his, and of course that does affect your brain.
Yeah, well, he was as crazy as a bedbug is what he was. And we have the very best evidence for it. I mean, we don't have to infer from his behavior or anything like that. He told his law partner and biographer not only that he had it, but who he got it from and when.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, gee, we don't hear about that in fifth grade.
We don't.
He freed the slaves. Of course, he didn't free one slave, did he?
Yeah, I was going to say, name me three slaves that he freed.
Well, let's see. Nobody in the North.
No.
And then the only slaves that were freed in the South were the areas that were not in control.
Yeah, well, but they weren't freed either because he didn't control it.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
And when the Northern Army came down to free the slaves, or, you know, they didn't free the slaves. They took the slaves and set them at labor serving the Union Army. It's the most illustrative fact to me in the whole thing. I first got really interested in this. I mean, I knew some of the things about it, but I got very interested in watching Ken Burns' The Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
It is, you know, it's worshipful of Lincoln and worshipful of the North. And yet he shows time and time again, he shows pictures of scaffolding around the nation's capital in Washington, D.C., where hundreds of slaves were working to rebuild the Capitol Dome.
Oh.
All during the war.
Right. Right. You know, another interesting thing about that period, well, about DiLorenzo's book, is he mentions the 14th Amendment that was not properly ratified. And I was thinking about, I thought about that because I thought about the Emancipation Proclamation, which was nothing legal about that.
Right.
And then the 14th Amendment wasn't properly ratified, and I have read some research that says the 16th Amendment wasn't properly ratified.
Well, yeah, one of the things I had my character, Alexander Hope, do when he became president was establish a commission to investigate the circumstances under which the 16th Amendment was so-called supposedly ratified.
One has to question, you know, how many amendments after the first 10 were ratified properly?
Well, that's a real good question, isn't it? Especially since the 14th Amendment essentially was not necessary. If you want to establish a national standard for rights, all you have to do is look at, I can't remember the Article 1, Section 8. No, that's, anyway, there's a section in the main body.
Article 1, Section 10 prohibits the states from doing certain things.
Well, the thing I'm concerned with is that it says that the Constitution and treaties are the supreme law of the land.
Right.
And that judges in all the states will be instructed to, you know, enforce them and like that. And if you understand that an amendment takes precedence over the rest of the body of law, I mean, that's the nature of an amendment, right?
Right, right.
Then that means that the first ten amendments to the Constitution are indeed the very highest law of the land.
Right.
Which means they apply everywhere.
Right.
Throughout the country, you know. And
including the Ninth Amendment.
Yeah, and you don't have to pass a 14th Amendment to do that. I owe that insight to my friend John Taylor. If you've read Hope, he's John Pondaro in that book.
Okay, no, I haven't read that. But and it also it seems to me though that reminds me that the Second Amendment is really extraneous too, in my opinion, because the Ninth Amendment covers it more closely. We don't have to even talk about militias. An unenumerated right has to be the right to defend yourself.
Well, it's interesting that I think the most important words ever written about the Second Amendment were written by Janiel Shulman in one of his two gun books. I can't remember the title right now, but
Longside Night was one of the books he wrote. But
that's a novel.
Okay.
He wrote two nonfiction gun books, and in one of them, he actually went to the California school system and said, who's the greatest grammarian in all the land? And they gave him the name of a guy, an old guy. And so he went to this guy and said, he rephrased the Constitution so that it was about, the Second Amendment so it was about books instead of guns, and said, does this first clause in any way limit or the rest of the amendment? And the guy said, no, it just provides an explanation for why they passed the amendment, but it doesn't have any effect in action. So, you know, whether or not involves a militia is irrelevant. So then he did something. This was real genius. He said, okay, who do you think is the greatest grammarian in all the land? And the guy gave him a name of his teacher, a real guy. And he went to see him and asked him the same question. He said, well, I'm sorry, but my student was wrong. He said, in fact, it works the other way. The main body of the amendment modifies and limits the first part. And he explains why in language anybody can understand. So we now have a grammarian who didn't care about the issue, in fact may have been anti-gun, saying that the Second Amendment means exactly what we always said it did, except in even stronger language than we imagined.
Right, and I believe as I think it was Hugo Black said, that the Founding Fathers had a very good understanding of the English language.
Oh, yeah.
And Hugo Black, every time he had a First Amendment case in front of him, he always voted against any restrictions because he said, this, knowing that the Founding Fathers had a good, firm understanding of English grammar, that when they said Congress shall make no law, they meant
that's
Congress
right.
shall make no law.
That's right. There's no subtext there.
And if Congress wanted to say Congress shall make can make some law, they would have found a way of expressing that.
That's right. That's exactly right. It's an education to read the language that they use. I once, because I
Robert Heinlein or somebody once said that anything can be improved by cutting even the Gettysburg Address, okay? So rather than do the Gettysburg Address, I looked at the center section of the Declaration of Independence, which starts out, "We hold these truths to be self-evident," and ends, "and provide new guards for the future security." Some of the most revolutionary stuff ever written. And I wanted to see if I could shorten it and modernize it so people would understand it better. And I discovered you can't do it. It's in such beautiful, lucid, succinct language that there's nothing that can be done about it or should be.
Well, it's a product of the age of reason.
Yeah, there you go.
And that gets me back to one of my first questions today is unfortunately we are not in an age of reason. We're in my opinion in an age of feelings.
Somebody said call it the age of envy.
Oh, that too, absolutely. And because of those, it seems to me that although of course we need to use rational thought to approach people. I as an activist in the libertarian movement have been saying that we need more Patrick Henry than Harry Brown.
Well, I have said in a way the same thing in a way. I wrote a speech one time, the title of which was, "You can't fight a culture war if you ain't got any culture." Right?
Exactly. And thing is, you got to win the intellectual battle, and then it seems to me before you win a political battle, you've got to win the culture.
Well, that's why I do what I do. I write novels. I write stories. I mean, the book I just finished is about a little girl who's an ice skater. She's a figure skater. And she was born and raised on Pallas, which is the second largest of the asteroids. The gravity is 1/20th of a G. And she wants to skate on Earth in a gravity field 20 times more powerful than she grew up in. And everybody says it's going to kill her. But she says, "No, I'm going to do it." And she proceeds. And this is my device for showing you what the solar system is like in the 22nd century. The year is 2130, and she goes to Ceres, where her father is the chief engineer of the Ceres terraformation project, and skates in 1/10th of a G, and then she goes to the moon and skates in 1/6th of a G, she goes to Mars and skates in 1/3 of a G, and finally gets to Earth. And along the way, she sees the things I want my readers to see, with the help of her brother, who is an asteroid hunter. Because in the future, it's necessary to protect the Earth and the other side of the world from being smacked like it did 65 million years ago, right? And it's a profitable business. It was decided a long time ago in this culture that governments should not do this because there's too much power in their hands. So private entrepreneurs do it and protect the Earth and make a lot of money because asteroids are valuable objects. An asteroid a mile in diameter, of which there are thousands, contains more gold than has ever been mined on Earth in human history. So, and that's just a trace element. So, anyway, that's...
So she learns to skate on Earth through successive approximations.
Yes, she does indeed, and she has a very attractive... Sometimes characters take a book over, and in this case, her coach took the book over. Her name is Yasmin Khalidov, and she's a Chechen refugee, second generation. Her people fled to Mars to get away from the Russians. And she's very cute and attractive, and I sort of fell in love with her, which I do from time to time in books that I write. I mean, and she made the book more fun to write. And my skater's mom is a very interesting character who has a kind of tragic background. We had to figure out what's going on with her.
And that's one thing I want to say about your books, is of what I have read, and I have to admit I haven't read everything. I wish I had the time. I'll have to make the time.
Yeah.
But you make it fun.
Well, thank you.
And I think that is so important. Again, so many so-called leaders of the libertarian movement make it sound like drudgery. And if you're not in this and not having fun, you're probably not. You're not going to be able to be a good activist for long.
Well, Rand was sort of somber, but her books, especially after
they're fun. Atlas Shrugged is loads of fun.
And she just didn't realize it was science fiction, you know.
Exactly, and you know, you have characters by the name of Bennett Williams and Buckley Williams. I mean, that's great.
Bennett and Buckley, the two brothers, the two right-wing brothers, and that was written before September 11th. That I have a huge disaster at the beginning of that book,
right,
which is used as an excuse to try to create a government and all that sort of stuff. And I'm not really prophetic. This is the way it's always worked. The Reichstag fire and the Oklahoma City explosion. The government's tried to use those to take people's freedom away.
If you look at history logically, you can predict that. I have to say I wrote an essay to an article to a local newspaper right after the Persian Gulf War, and I predicted, I said, this is going to lead to terrorism, a big terrorism in our country, which is going to lead to a war on terrorism that's going to fail just like the war on drugs and the war on poverty and all the other wars.
Well, it's a failure only if you think that the goal is something other than turning us into slaves.
Right, exactly. We're talking with L. Neal Smith. The phone number here is 847-931-1410. This is Freedom Rings, 931-1410. We will be back after a few messages.
Hello, friends. This is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings needs your help. I would like to get back to a two-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, nonprofit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bass, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Rings to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute and be sure to mention Freedom Rings. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Rings, and thank you for your support.
You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruption, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its Constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through a jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats and regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well then, America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Baroni's Pizza, 3 Lakewood Plaza, 1 block west of Route 25 off of Bessinger Drive in Carpentersville on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
We are back with Freedom Rings. I'm Kenneth John talking with L. Neil Smith. We got a few more minutes here. Well, first, let's say one more mention for your website, Neil.
Okay.
Let's get that out of the way.
For the Probability Birch graphic novel, it's www.bigheadpress.com. It's a story that I can't tell you because there's not enough time about that name. Bigheadpress.com. For my personal website, which includes an essay called Why Did It Have to Be Guns, it's www.lneilsmith.com. That's N-E-I-L, lneilsmith.com. And for the Libertarian Enterprise, which is just about to begin, it's in its ninth year of publication now, it's www.ncc-1776.com.
Okay, very good. So, back in 1776,
yeah.
Americans fought a violent revolution to secede from King George and Great Britain. Back in 1989, the Iron Curtain countries participated in a Velvet Revolution, but it was a revolution, to a certain extent, at least restoring some modicum of freedom.
Yeah.
There. It seems to me in history, it seems to be the natural course of history is that freedoms obtained abruptly and gradually, prosperity, complacence, and then tyranny develop. And I don't know if we can incrementally go back to freedom or not, or is it going to take another revolution?
Well, yeah, quoting Heinlein, every revolution of whatever nature is kind of a freak. You can't judge one from another. Of violent revolutions, Robert Fay said, no violent revolution ever increased human freedom. And the one he used as an example was the American Revolution, where before the revolution, we owed no allegiance to any very powerful government. And after the revolution, we had a government right here to mess with us. A point also brought up by Mel Gibson in The Patriot. I don't know. I'm not equipped to deal with anything except a gradual change because I'm 58 years old. I'm a novelist by disposition, although I'm also a very, very good shot. And
I'm not necessarily advocating violent revolution.
Oh, no, I understand that. I'm just saying I would rather that my daughter not live through a violent revolution.
Oh, absolutely not. I'm hoping maybe one way to do it is through the jury system.
I believe that. I've been listening to those ads of yours, and those were wonderful.
Thank you. Neil, thank you very much for being on the show today. I really appreciate
it. Well, thank you, sir.
All right, on to the quotation of the week. This is from Duane Arquette. The justification for government in the first place is that man can't be trusted with governance over himself. I say if man can't be trusted with governance over himself, how could some men ever be trusted with governance over others? What makes these men so special? The mere fact that they are elected?
The preceding paid program sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications. This is your news and information station, AM 1410, WRMN, Elgin.
USA Radio Network News, John Scott reporting, does Syria really plan to leave Lebanon? Fox News Channel's Jennifer Griffith has more from Syria's capital, Damascus.
You're likely to see some symbolic movement of forces in the next few hours.